Okay, here we go. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Paulie Presenza, otherwise known as the Moo Cow. And I am joined by...
Jonathan Mooney.
Very cool. And today we are joined by...
And Joe.
Yay, Joe. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Gosh, when was the last movie that we had you on?
There were two. One of them... The recording didn't come out right, though. It was the one where they're in the cabin with all the snow. I can't remember what that was. And then the aliens.
Yeah, the crickets from hell.
But that's the one that the recording didn't come out right, and then the other one we did was Sextet.
It
was
Sextet, there you
blood.
Go.
Blood
Predator.
Blood Predator, yes.
I love that movie. It's so bad.
That was fun.
That didn't come out right, and that was going to be like a Patreon only that we
and
were doing.
Actually, that's not exactly the last ones. The last ones I remember.
Oh, the Christmas.
Fun in Balloon
I
Land.
I repressed that. Sorry.
Fun in Balloon Land and
Santa Claus
meets the ice cream.
Not versus.
Because they're buddies. They're snuggle buddies.
But you didn't actually stay around for the videotaping.
That's right. Nope, I just stayed for the movie.
Stayed for the torment.
But you did. I think you were only going to plan to stay for a little bit, and then you ended up
getting sucked in.
I did totally get sucked in.
Ridiculous movie. Well, I'm glad you're here because, as I was saying earlier, it's about time we do a stinky vampire movie. And today's movie is called Die Hard Dracula, which... I have talked to you about me doing at some point.
I think so. It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Is
you
it
were
Die
like,
Hard
is it Dracula? Dracula? Yeah. No.
Does he sound like
No. But it is ridiculous and silly, and it has some special effects.
Die Hard with Dracula. That would be fun. You know, like Die Hard with
Dracula
with vampires.
Dracula climbing through the air vents and stuff. Yeah.
At Nakatomi Plaza. Yeah. That would have made the regular Die Hard a lot more fun for me.
Down with capitalism, says Dracula.
Yeah. But in any event.
As a vampire now. That hasn't happened yet.
I know.
You know.
But in any event, we will come back and talk about this movie after some mood music.
Jetziva, Ladrak, Lekan Moravia, Bestia, Rostram, Vas, Shekne, Nakusi.
I'm not sure that the can or the price of canned pumpkin fluctuates all that much. It seems a pretty standard commodity item.
All right, so we are back.
Woo!
Okay, so what did you guys think of Die Hard Dracula?
It made me angry.
Really? Why?
It made me die really hard.
We'll talk about that a little bit more, like, throughout the whole show. You'll find out why it made me angry. I don't want to just say all the things
right
now.
Think it just made, you know, you yearn for Bruce Willis?
It made me sad that this wasn't Die Hard and, you know, with Dracula, but, you know, I don't know. We'll talk about
it. Well, there was a lot of fire in it.
That's right.
Nick got there.
That's right. And, you know, think of all the clothing changes that happened, except for one guy.
Happened a lot, except for one guy.
All right, so this movie pissed you off. What happened?
All right, so you want to go with the story right now, I guess. So it starts back, like, 300 years ago, because this is supposed to be, what, 1599 or something, I think, or 14? No, 1599?
1599, yeah.
It was on sale.
1599 plus 300 would be
1899.
So it would be 1699?
Maybe it was 16. I thought they said 15.
I thought they said 15 too.
Tax.
Did they get the dates wrong?
In this movie, getting something wrong?
I don't know. So anyway, I thought it started in 1599, and then they said 300 years later. Or whatever.
Which would be 1899, and then they were jet skiing, so that's off. Water skiing.
And so it was definitely 1999.
You say they didn't jet ski back in 1899?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Not the way they were doing it.
I don't know. It wasn't there.
But
safety nerd.
I know, seriously, that fucking pissed me off too. Like, wow, somebody really thought safety was a nerdy thing. All right, you know. Well, you know what? It's funny that she said that, and then later she died.
I know.
You know, or whatever. So, you know, that's what you get for making fun of safety.
Right. So there's this Dracula thing. They go through this whole ridiculous bit about that. And all these people suffering because of Dracula, blah, blah, blah. He gets some chick.
And no, he dies, doesn't he? Or he gets, like, killed.
The guy
something.
Who ends up becoming Dracula does, yeah.
Yeah, and so then he ends up coming back to life and then flying through the air in his coffin and going into a castle.
And then he gets some chick that King Vitamin wants to have for himself.
Right. Right.
I say King Vitamin because he looks exactly like the king from King Vitamin cereal. So ridiculous.
I've never even heard of that. I thought he looked like the Burger King king, kind of.
With
the plastic crown.
He looked ridiculous.
And he was about to take the virgin chick and have his way with her, and then Dracula came and saved her, and then he'd have his way with her. Yeah. So.
Fortunately, she had her running shoes on with her pajamas at the same time.
Right. Pajamas at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
Right.
As you do.
But
as we all know,
Americans
are lazy.
Have you been to Walmart lately? Have you seen what one is earning?
Were you like
So anyway, he's doing it, but he, you know, he's trying to take the virgin, but he does it right on top of Dracula's coffins, which he doesn't like. So he breaks out, kills King Vitamin, and then takes the chick for himself.
Right.
Then we suddenly shift, and we are now in the future, or the present, or whatever the hell we went.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it went to the future, but now it's it was supposed to be our present, which was 90s.
Somewhere, in some lake, someplace, and you've got dime store Brendan Fraser and his shirtless buddy and his shrewish girlfriend, and they are water skiing in a lake, and he's like, this was fun, but girls shouldn't do that because, you know, it's for men only or something stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, and then he's like, well, you better put on the here's your water vest.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, safety nerd. And then they do water skiing, and of course she drowns and dies.
Like, they didn't really go back for her much. Like,
not really.
Like, they went swimming for her, and then they kind of gave
up.
They
looked for, like, 2 minutes, and then he went home and had some chicken. I mean...
As you do.
Yeah. And then his parents are like,
is there something wrong with the chicken?
I mean, my girlfriend just died. Yeah, but that's not what I asked. How's the chicken?
How's the chicken? Because he was, like, moving that same pea around his plate. You know,
yeah, and then we cut to a funeral happening with some person.
Somewhere else,
which is going to stay somewhere else.
Which we didn't really know. I think at first we all thought it was her.
No,
right?
She did it because he's seen it. But
okay, but what we thought. But then when they opened the coffin. Wait. The meteor messed it first.
Yes.
Right.
A meteor. It was a falling shooting star.
Right.
And the shooting star happens in in America or whatever. We see it. They see
right.
it. And then
he makes his little wish.
He makes his little wish. And then it flies and lands, you know, and
exactly right on top of the coffin of this girl that we have no idea who this is.
Right.
Which turned out to be a coffin in Moravia. But anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Like over by
Prague. We don't need that information now.
No.
It'll come out later.
No.
In a few minutes. It'll come out because then the guy just randomly decides to go to Prague.
Yep.
Like, there's no like, oh, Dad, you know, hey, I'm going to go to Prague for business or...
Did we even identify that that's the city they were in?
Yeah,
did
it
we?
Is.
It
but
is?
I'll tell you what. Did you notice when he was giving his mom a hug, what did he have? He had a big, giant bag. And what do you think was in that big, giant bag?
Not clothes.
Not another shirt. So, son of a bitch, he brought plenty of clothing. You just never saw it.
I'm not sure if we've explained fully how mad you are about this, but it's like every character in the movie, like when they change scenes or if it's a different day, they're all wearing different clothes, except for the hero, who always has the same button-down, like, light blue shirt. He never, ever changes his clothes. Even after he falls into a river, I mean, he's just like, whatevs, you know? I'm
just going to wear it till it dries.
Yeah, because that's what you do.
But literally, every other character changes clothes. Even Van Helsing changes clothes.
But he does, when he has sex, he does have no shirt on.
Yeah, now...
Which, I think they had to surgically remove it or something.
There is, I suppose, a reason, because remember... After he's been pining and pining and pining and going from one stupid bar to the next and getting drunker and drunker and drunker, he ends up driving in his little car to Morovia. Because remember that one waiter guy is like, "Are you going to sightsee?" And he's like, "I'm going to Morovia." And the guy's like, "I'll see you later."
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, what the hell was that?
That was so strange.
Weird. And then...
But you never see him again.
Right. You never see that guy again. But then, so, dime store Brendan Fraser drives off in his little yellow car, and he has an accident because he's stupid, and he runs off the road, which does... And it doesn't explode like most movies. But first thing he does is that he, you know, he's got a big cut in his head, and he jumps out of the car, and he just... runs randomly in the woods.
Are you saying that
he left
the car,
his bag?
Are you saying that the car that has that doesn't explode is the most realistic thing that happened in this movie?
Probably, probably. But clearly, he left his giant bag of clothing behind.
Okay, and that's more important than the fact that the road was 15 feet away, and he could have. Run up to the road and, like, flag down help and, gone to a hospital, maybe?
Yeah,
no,
well...
No, it's like, well, the road's 15 feet away. There is an endless sea of woods. I'm going with the woods.
Ravines.
I'm going with the woods.
I'm
going
to go around. Maybe there'll be a town there. Maybe.
Yeah.
I might be eaten by wolves. It doesn't matter because, you know what? Going the other way would be what every other movie does.
And, I mean, the movie would be over in like 5 minutes.
And besides, they're Euro wolves, so they're liable to be fabulous.
Oh.
So instead, he ends up running into a weird pub where they start to, like, make fun of him and try to get him to kiss some ugly fat woman.
Which was like the mom of...
Yes.
The guy's just like, go make out with my ugly wife. I'm like,
my
wow.
fat ugly wife.
First of all, why is she okay with
what
it?
What are you doing
like
this?
Like, she's like, I'm owning the fact that I'm...
She's not just okay. She runs up and she tries like chest bump.
I know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she belly bumps him.
Belly bumps him.
It was like a sumo move. And... Like, wow.
And you got to understand, our quote-unquote hero is the whiniest voice the entire time. And he's like, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. And at that point is when Carla comes down and is like, oh, guys, please stop teasing the poor, stupid American. He's kind of cute. Let's just let him relax.
So another thing that I told you before that really annoys me, and this happens in a lot of movies, this isn't just this movie, but when there's an American tourist or something, right, they automatically already know he speaks English. Now, he could speak Italian, he could speak whatever. Normally, in a situation, they would still be talking in their language, you know?
Nope.
Until he opens his mouth or something.
Right. And then they go, oh, you know English. I know English, too.
Because deep in the woods of Morovia, wherever the hell that is... They're all talking English.
And that pisses me off. It's such an annoying thing. It's so easy for independent filmmakers to just fix this, especially when most of those actors were probably from, like, Czechoslovakia or whatever, or Czech or Slovakia or whatever.
Wherever it was shot.
Wherever it was shot. Because they all had weird, like, last names. I was pretty sure they were foreign.
Weird costumes.
Weird costumes. I mean, they were great. And they were probably my favorite part of the movie. It's just... Each person was
including the doctor.
That guy had a character. Like, at least he was somebody. And you know what? He didn't change his shirt because he was a doctor, and that's what a doctor would look like.
But the problem is that he really wasn't a doctor. He was a dentist.
Yes.
And we find that out because Dracula makes an appointment to go to the fucking dentist to get a tooth looked at.
That happens. That was a great scene.
That was so fucking stupid.
Dentist is just like on the phone with him. He's like, that was Dracula. He needs a root canal. Like, what?
He needs to get his fangs fixed. He needs to get one of his fangs fixed. And then he goes to take it, and he messes up his fang or whatever, and he gets really mad at him and, like, kills him.
That's just so funny. But before we get to that,
it's actually down the line.
Yeah, it's down the line.
Let me point out that you were talking about, you know, how ethnocentric we are, you know, and we'll go in and assume that everybody's going to speak English to us. Well, one, it could be because Americans just have this dopey look on our face that is instantly recognizable. And second, you undercut your argument by saying they all had weird last names, so they must be from over there.
So they all could speak their language or whatever.
And in fairness, dime store Brendan Fraser did have a constant dopey look on his face, and he never seemed to have any clue what was going on, so he would just kind of do whatever they were doing in order to fit in. You know, when they were talking about killing the werewolf or the vampire, and he's like, we should do that.
Didn't they all have, like, Eastern European accents except for the Brendan Fraser guy and Van Helsing?
They would all say a vake or a vare.
Well, Van
Helsing did
He said it like a New Yorker.
He occasionally went back and forth.
He did. I remember him saying vake a couple times.
You know, he sounded just like somebody I know, though. So I'm like,
kind of had a New Yorkian accent.
And I guess this is at the time where I can point out that the fact that Van Helsing was being played by Bruce Glover, Crispin Glover's father, and he's been in a whole bunch of crappy movies and B movies. I don't think so. Well, no, he is. I know he was in. Do you remember Ghost World? Do you ever see Ghost World?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember the guy? He's in the wheelchair in the coffee store.
It's been so long since
I saw
it when it first came out.
Yeah, when he's like, you know, getting all the free coffees because he's able to look up stuff on his computer. Yeah, that's him in the wheelchair.
But isn't that movie from like the 90s or 2000s?
Yeah. I think he's still around. He's just one of those. He's got those very, very recognizable face. I mean, you've seen that face before, I'm sure.
I think so. I recognized his name. Like, it was somebody who obviously had been in a bunch of B movies and other things, you know, and other films. But I didn't know who he was. And I didn't know he was I didn't know Crispin Glover's father was an actor.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And the funny thing is that he's considered the lead actor in this film because instead of Dracula, because how many Draculas were there in this film? There were like three. There was Count Chunkula.
Count Chunkula.
That was one fat weird Dracula. And then
there was
Tommy Wiseau Dracula.
Oh, I thought of him
with
as
the
Liberace,
long hair.
Yeah. Oh, he plays the piano.
Yeah.
And the violin, too.
Right.
Gets mad at the violin thing.
And then there was a kind of in-between guy who, like, that's the next thing plot-wise that happens is that when they're all talking about it, you know, then they say, oh, we're going to get Van Helsing. Van Helsing shows up. And then all of a sudden when he says, oh, yeah, we should investigate Dracula, boing, here comes Dracula dressed up like a hunter.
Speak of the devil.
Right.
He just showed up.
Speak
of the Dracula, and he just showed up, and he just walks in, sits down, he wants food. He's never ordered there before. He's never been there. And yet he's just like, I want my steak, blood rare.
That's all the proof we need. Says dime store Brendan Fraser, who's ready to kill this guy because...
No, it was one of the townspeople.
Yeah.
No, he said it.
Oh, did he
really? Yeah, he did. He was the one who said it. Because I kept thinking to myself, like, that dude seriously is going to get himself in trouble by the law if he thinks,
he
like,
is
all
such
he needs.
A follower throughout much of that film. But, you know, because he's not a hero. He's a terrible hero. I mean, even at the point where they're fighting Dracula, Van Helsing's like pushing him in to do things.
And he's like,
I don't know what the whole point of that was. Like, I don't know if, like, I don't know if it was supposed to, like, have some kind of point that American boys or whatever couldn't handle a Romanian Dracula or whatever.
I think, and I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think they were trying to go for a comedy. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That's what I think they were trying to do. Because remember at one point, like, the 300-year-old wife, the bedazzled wife, is, like, giving Dracula the finger.
He said, your fangs are bigger than others. And she looks down at her boobs like, thanks.
The one point where, like, he gets in his coffin and the coffin flies around to the Ride of the Valkyries. And,
yeah.
and
yeah.
he's like, I hate travel. That's yeah. just ridiculous.
No more praying. 300 years I have listened to this awful praying, crying, and bullshit. I can stand it no more. I hate traveling.
Trying to be funny, but
not consistently though. It wasn't. It kind of went back and forth.
And like the attempts at jokes were just like terrible. So bad that it's like
terrible.
I mean,
cringy at times.
Yeah, it was very cringy.
It was ridiculous.
So yeah, so Dracula orders food, and so they think they're gonna trick him somehow. So first, Van Helsing comes over and talks to him and show some fire and it freaks him out. And he has cigar and he's like, yeah, sure.
Breaks the mirror.
And then last, proof if he does garlic bread.
Well, he gets his steak and he just grabs it and like starts sucking.
Sucking the blood out of it. Yeah.
Which is not something you generally see at a restaurant, but it is what it is. And then he takes his toast because we know that Dracula loves his toast.
He loves his carbs, man. We didn't figure that out, man.
We absolutely.
That's why
I got Count Chunkula Dracula loves his carbs.
I don't know how he goes back from being Chunkula to being like skinnier to being. Kind of
it just changes without any real reason. But anyway, so Chubby Dracula ends up biting into his toast, and it turns out that there is garlic in it, and he's like, oh, I don't like that, and so he leaves. And so then that's, from there on out is when they decide, okay, so we have to go and kill Dracula because we don't really have anything else to do. So
Dracula's also killed one of the girls, Dana.
Yeah, yeah.
We were all like
washing linens.
She was washing linens in the river. Which
was like
strange.
It was like freaking 1599.
Right.
But it's the '90s, the 1990s.
Even in Morovia, Europe.
Yeah, I mean they had electricity.
They have washing machines.
They had washing machines. They could have done that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're
come
just
on.
This is a cheap little place. I don't know. Maybe they're like, it's an
easy way to sort of make her alone. In the woods.
Yeah. Which she's alone.
Excellent.
And Dracula comes in the daylight, the hat on.
Which protects him.
And that's the kind of thing that was probably written by itself some other time. And someone said, let's throw that scene in there. Not caring whether it fit in with the rest of the narrative before or after it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then after it goes through all that, and he ends up making the chick into a vampire.
A vampire turns into her, which was so easy.
It's ridiculous.
He was like, oh, you've got marks on your neck. And she's like, what
really?
Marks?
Yeah, take them out for me.
Right. And then after that, it just becomes one, adventure after another where they just go in to break into his castle, try to kill him. But because he's die-hard Dracula, they can't kill him. So they set him on fire. They shoot him with a gun. They cut his head off. They poke him with a pokey stick.
They shoot an arrow that has like explodes.
After pouring gasoline on his head? Yeah.
They do everything but give him a noogie, basically. And none of it works. My favorite part is, if he gets his head cut off, he's like really irritated. He's like, oh, this really irritates me.
You messed up my head.
Then he just puts it back on.
You know if they missed a joke? He could have said, this is a real pain in my neck.
Yeah.
I would have laughed at that. I would have said, that's actually good. That's, see, that this movie's too good.
So ridiculous. But in the meantime, during all of these different attempts, you get to see all of Dracula's fun powers. So, you know, in addition to flying his coffin, he also picks up the girl and flies by herself at one point, butt first. And he's got blue vampire lightning, and he's got, I guess they're supposed to be fireballs, but they look like little charcoal, flaming charcoal briquettes.
That probably is what they were. And, you know.
And he just kind of tosses at them. They're like, stop that. Go away. And, you know, and at one point he throws one of the pointy sticks at them and it misses them. And then later on he finds out it kills one of the crew members. And he's just kind of there. We'll deal with that later. Just put a tarp on him.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll leave it in the shot. No shot unturned.
And then just when it starts to get really, really strange and we're not sure what's going to happen, and then it turns out we're not really sure if any of this did happen. Moody's favorite thing. He's
So if you've listened to Indie Film Cafe enough times, you will know one of my biggest pet peeves is when people wake up and say it is all a dream. Because that is the cheapest ploy you can possibly do now.
And it's overdone to death.
There's been only two so far that I've actually liked, and I would point these out. One was Wizard of Oz, which was the first to ever do that. So I give it credit where credit's due, whatever. It did not bother me. That's okay. And especially since it's like it's already a book, whatever. Didn't bother me. There was another movie, I'm blanking on the title, but it was A Nun's Curse. It had that, but it worked for it. And actually, I was so happy that it was just a dream because I actually liked all the characters. So I was like, oh man, this sucks. And then they bring it back and I'm like, aw. But then they go to the thing and I'm like, oh man, they're gonna die. They're just not gonna show it, you know. Kind of.
I have to put in a plug for Mulholland Drive, though. When you're talking about dream sequences that are like amazing,
bit confusing, yeah.
Not confusing. You watch it like the second or third time. It's like every little piece fits in, and it's so awesome.
The first time you watch movies and they do shit like this, you're like, ah. Then you watch it, then you.
Agreed. At this point, it's been pretty played out, and it's like if you're going to do it, you have to have some pretty awesome twist on it.
This did not.
Or you could have like a weird actor who's like talking to you right here, and then he calls you on the phone and you pick it up and he's like, yeah, I'm here too. And you're like, what?
What movie was that?
Mulholland Drive.
Oh, Mulholland Drive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird. But so you're saying that if Alfred Hitchcock had done that in Psycho, you would have been perfectly cool with that.
No, I mean, if he had done it right, I mean, which he probably would have, you know, if he had made it like where, you know, was it the chick, the main Janet Leigh's character?
It was all a dream.
You know, woke up and it was all a dream. Somehow, if it made sense. But he wouldn't have done that. That's the thing. This is only done when you really have no idea how to end a fucking movie.
Right.
And that was this problem, was they really, literally had killed every character or whatever and done everything. And then they're like, you know what? Let's make it all a dream.
And then, not only is it a dream, but everybody turns into a vampire at some point.
So, the whole thing about it being, like, a dream while he was in a coma, it was completely unnecessary, because they all end up back at the castle and vampires anyway. So, he clearly wasn't in a coma.
When was he? Like, that's my question. Like, because I thought, okay, maybe he was in a coma.
Explain yourself, movie.
Yes, I yelled that. And it's the one part, so, like, the car flips over, and I thought, okay, that would be the perfect time for him to be in a coma, right?
Right.
But then she's talking to him like she knows who he is. He says Count Dracula, and she's just, like, you know, she's not like, what are you talking, you know? Like,
and they're already clearly, like, romantically involved, so it couldn't be that. I think what happened is she turned him into a vampire and he passed out or something, and then when he woke up, they took him to a hospital to make him think he had a coma or something.
Well, because, I know, it's like, why?
It was completely, the whole thing was completely unnecessary. Why did he not just wake up in the castle like,
because
I'm a vampire now?
They had a hospital room. Yeah. And they were like, let's put that
And
in
you
the
see, that you're touching on something that is a hallmark of this particular film, which is that there's a lot of unnecessary stuff that happens. That makes no, it doesn't advance the plot. Like it confuses
the
plot.
And you point out whether or not the characters washed their hands after they came out of the bathroom. Super important. We really need to see the car going through that tunnel. Super important because, what, that is the tunnel to Moravia and we must know that?
Right.
Super important that that guy's like, where are you going, Moravia? You know, see you soon. Like, and you never see him again. Like, it... It's just the only things that just piss me off.
Oh, like, my first boyfriend dies and he's at home eating chicken.
The home eating chicken. And it was so funny.
Yeah, like, wow. And they took a long time with him just pushing that pee around his plate. And
some
like,
of the dialogue was just hysterical when she's trying to figure out what's going on and he's like, yeah, I wished upon a star after my girlfriend died, and then she's like, oh, I guess that's me. I sorry I stole your miracle.
Because he only wishes that she was
a drowned girl
was alive.
Because right.
Any drowned girl was alive.
Any drowned girl will do.
And that's how important she was to him. Yeah.
When he was yelling her name constantly.
Maybe he's not good under pressure.
I mean, what he
he's like, oh, fuck.
What he should have said was, you know, when you drowned Carla, were you calling somebody a safety nerd? Did you wear your safety vest? No.
That's passive aggressive, like, to the nth degree right there.
Let's talk about, speaking of things like that, let's talk about all the consent that did not go along.
Oh, God.
Lots of different issues with
You know, back in the 90s when you could just, like, reach your hand up a girl's skirt just because, you know, whatever. Well, or, like, some random lady sits on your lap at dinner and you're like, I guess that's my invitation to put my hand in her shirt, you know, like.
See what's in there. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know your name.
Are you referring to the crying game?
There you go. Yeah, I don't want to play the crying game.
So, yeah, it's, man, it's just, like, there's so much stuff back in this time period. You just can't do now. You can't get away with a lot of this stuff. Which isn't a bad thing, but it's also not a good thing. Like, this movie does so much wrongness to it.
So we have to talk a little bit about Dime Store Brendan Fraser. What did you guys think of him? He's our quote-unquote hero.
That's all
did
I think
you
of.
Do any background on this?
I mean, I did some, but most of these people... Did not stand out at all.
Okay.
The only person who rang a bell was Bruce Glover.
Everybody else.
Yeah, the director Peter Horak. All he ever did was he was a stunt guy, he was a stunt guy in a number of different real movies.
Die Hard.
No.
I was in Die Hard, and now I'm making a movie called Die Hard Dracula.
I've actually got a list, and it's over in the other area, unfortunately. But no, I think he was in The Nutty Professor. He did stunts for that. He was
the
96
one, right?
Yeah, the 96 one. And gosh, I forgot a couple of the other ones. But he's
just like, you know, I'm done being a stunt guy. Let me go direct my first.
This
movie.
Is his one and only directorial
effort. I wonder why.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Peter. You're probably a fantastic
and nobody
stuntman.
Else that I saw really was anything more than a very rare bit player, other than, Bruce Glover. So there wasn't much to really say about all these other folks, other than Dime Store Brendan Fraser. And I keep calling him that because that's exactly what he looked like.
Yeah. Also, I thought at times he looked like Cary Elwes from Princess Bride.
Oh, really?
You
when his hair was all, like,
over. When it was actually looking good and stuff.
Maybe
and
he was
like, if he had, like, a little mustache thing, you know,
channel
little,
that.
Except he had kind of, like, Corey Haim's voice, and he just whined incessantly.
Hey, don't
really
make fun
whiny.
Of Corey
Haim. He really was the whiniest character.
I prefer Corey Haim over this guy.
Like, when he comes down... with the little, whatever that was, wrapped around his waist because he couldn't find his clothes, and he's like... Dracula took her out of my bed. Like, oh my God, what a hero.
I know. And then, like I said, he's supposed to be fencing Dracula at one point, and Van Helsing is just pushing him forward. Would you go and fight him?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
My favorite part about him saying, oh, you know, he took her out of my bed. My father looks over and goes, your bed?
What?
Like, so this is the first I'm hearing about this. Dad didn't know that they were engaged.
They didn't even know he was engaged. Didn't know they were dating. Didn't know anything.
Well, I mean, all that happened so fast. We couldn't believe any of that.
They knew each other for like 3 days and then were engaged.
Well, it's funny because, like, speaking of Alfred Hitchcock, I watched a bunch of his movies doing Hooked on Hitchcock, and a bunch of them have, like, where the person will meet him and, like, the next day they'll get engaged or get married. And I'm like, whoa,
escalated quickly.
I think it's because a lot of those movies, you just don't have time to, like.
Yeah. Part of that is compression of the story to make it fit within the time frame of the movie. Like, however, there are better ways of showing that, the passage of time.
Passage of time or something, but you can't have passage of time in this movie. So don't.
And it doesn't even matter. It doesn't add anything.
Maybe it works because it helps to show how stupid both the characters are. I mean, you know.
That's true.
It
well,
work on that level.
You didn't need to do much for that guy. One of my favorite things is when they're one of the many times they're climbing through the rocks in order to assault Dracula's castle, and dumbass drops his sword, and you were like, oh God, and it went right over to Van Helsing, but it went right into his belt slash perfectly.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh,
thanks
for the warning.
Yeah. And it was like, dude, that almost killed you, bro.
I know. It's like, can this guy be any more whiny and incompetent? I don't think so.
This guy almost killed you, Van Helsing, and yet you're also just looking at him going, oh,
I mean,
God.
I guess he's an okay looking guy, so that's what his plus is.
That's the only thing he's got going for him, but God, the whining. Whining.
Well, I mean, once again, I feel like even though this was the director, was he from America or is he?
Yeah,
from,
he's American.
Okay. He's American. He's trying to say something about America, boys and
dumbasses,
dumbass
tourists.
Okay, but Van Helsing wasn't much of a rocket scientist either.
No,
I mean, none of them were.
And he might, like, you might be right. He might have been like an American who, like, started living in that area because, like, his accent does change at times, so it might be that. Mm. He's trying to fit in more with
I will
the
put to you
people.
That every character in this movie was pretty much stupid.
I know.
I mean, like, all the dudes in the pub, I mean, they were all stupid.
Well, just like when they were giving, you know, Hunter Dracula all the tests. And we're like, okay, we can see what's going on. And then they go back and they say, so, is he a vampire? And Van Helsing's like, I'm not sure. I'm like, dude, how sure do you need to be?
That's all the evidence we need.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, what are you, like, at that point, what are you going to do anyway? Why don't you go over there and try to kill him right then and there? They let him just leave.
Yes, they do.
You know, and he was talking about flying. Like, I love that part. That's one of my favorite parts. Is he's like, I flew in, and I'm going to fly out.
I know.
And I'm like, okay, he's obviously telling you he's a fucking vampire.
Somebody's going to say, why are you talking like that? Why don't you talk like a normal person? Oh, because you're a vampire. Okay, now I get it.
I don't know. Everybody kind of talked weird at times.
They did.
That's a weird talk.
For a little while there, I thought, was this movie dubbed? Was that?
I think
part
of it
was.
Really?
Yeah,
I
think so.
I know Dracula was because he's the same voice for
all three different Draculas,
okay,
right?
He had to be dubbed. So and sometimes it didn't look like the same guy was saying that stuff, whatever. So it looked awkward.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
There was too much other bad stuff.
I know. What about the castle? The castle with the painted rocks on there.
Yeah, it looked like craft paper that had been duct taped up, and then someone just drew rocks, but they were all like exactly the same shape and size, like, you know, like you find
it's like
in nature.
Somebody
went
to a craft store and got a pattern that's rock like, and then they just papered it on the thing, and it's the same pattern over and over and over and over. It was ridiculous.
Ridiculous pretty much just sums up this movie anyway.
I know.
I was telling you, like, this movie felt like a What the Fuck Friday, too. Like, this could have been good for that, too. Like, if you hadn't done it for ISC.
Don't forget Dracula's Secret Treasure, which really factored nothing.
What was that little plot cul-de-sac? I mean, seriously.
I guess Dracula also sort of does a side job as a leprechaun because he had his little pot of gold.
Yeah.
talking about maybe stealing, yeah, and then you like pick up a handful of it and go, oh, I don't have time for this, and let go of it. You already have it in your hand.
Right, you can just put it in your pocket.
But they
don't. You can do several the times.
Nothing ever happens with it, so, I mean.
But in the end, it didn't matter. They all became vampires. Like,
right.
Like, when they do that, when they have it where all of it just didn't even matter at the end, then what was the point of the whole movie?
I mean, Van Helsing's a vampire at this point, and he's loving it by all
accounts. Oh, yeah.
I
love when they're like running out of weapon ideas, and so Van Helsing goes to the one guy, the armorer guy, and he gives him this metal stick, and it's like, sharpen this.
Which is clearly a lawn aerator. Right, that's right. That's what that is.
He's clearly. Like, here, make that nice and sharp. That'll be an excellent weapon. I'm like, really? Can't get a spear or axe or something?
Your best joke of the day, though. Remember when he gets stabbed with that thing? What'd you say?
Oh, yeah.
Good thing he was wearing a smoking jacket.
Yeah. A little bit of smoke coming out.
Yeah, because apparently if you stab a vampire, the wound smokes.
Yes, as you do.
Well, yeah, because like at one point the chick puts the cross on his, or he's stepping on the cross. And it's making his foot
that
smoke.
Makes sense to me, because it's burning him, right? But why would just getting stabbed with something burn you?
Because I think it's because, wasn't it silver or something?
Was it? I don't know very many.
It didn't look like silver. It was green.
None of my yard tools are made out of
your
silver.
really?
I'm trying. Or iron or something. Like, it was something that would cause a vampire.
It was somebody had an idea and said, wouldn't it look cool if we did this? And someone said, yeah, let's do it. That's what that's for.
Yeah, most people don't do their own artwork. They won't know what this is.
I know. It's so funny.
It's ridiculous. now, let's talk about that. One of our favorite scenes in the movie was the fact that when she gets taken away engagement night, you know, taken away by Dracula. They left the window open.
She's asleep the whole time.
Yeah, she's asleep the whole time. He takes her. When she wakes up, she like seems to be sort of happy, like, being there.
Well, considering she could have been with Dime Store Brendan Fraser, and this is a step up.
She has a castle now. At least the guy plays the piano.
He has a different shirt. Come on.
Yeah.
So she'll just go with anybody.
that part didn't bother me that much.
I think we figured that out, that she was ready to hook up with anyone.
Who was going
to
take her out of there.
Yeah. She's like, get me out of this small town.
Look, I died and came back, and you know what? I want to live my life.
And I love these people, but God, I can't wait to get rid of them.
Yeah. So she's with that guy, and you know, with him, and at first he's just like telling her, we're going to be here together forever.
And make love forever.
Yeah, and so she's like, oh, that's great. And it's like, make love forever. What?
Hey, wait a second here.
I wonder, though, if they were trying to do the thing, like, if you've read the original Dracula novel, he has a lot of seductive powers and everything, but I'm thinking, this Dracula? This one? I mean, Chunky?
He's a Dracula in that scene.
And let's not forget Smoking Foot Dracula.
And Smoking Foot Dracula.
So he was like telling her, you know, yes, we'll be whatever. And then she shows, you know, he goes to touch her and sees the cross. He's like, ah, get that off you. You know, right? And then he takes it all off, like all her clothes off of him.
That's
like,
better.
He rips her nightie off, but there's no rip, and it all comes off in one piece, but he's just like, there it is. Physics. There are some laws of physics that have been violated right now.
Are you saying that this is not scientifically accurate?
I mean...
or accurate in any way, stretch or form.
Let's be fair, you know.
And you know, there aren't a whole lot of problems with being undead, at least if you're a chick. I mean, first of all, your clothes gets really, really nicely bedazzled.
Yeah. Apparently.
Secondly, you get to sleep all the time. Mm-hmm. And then the only other thing you're doing is dancing. There's a lot of dancing in the afterlife, apparently.
All the Dracula girls dance together.
And what was up with them dancing in the broad daylight in the sun? They're like, they're very sensitive to sunlight. And then it pans immediately to a shot of vampire women dancing in full sunlight.
Nothing like inconsistencies in your own mythology.
But
where
it's like they just set said something
right.
about
well,
it.
You go out of your way to say, oh, it's okay that they're in the daylight because it just can't be broad daylight
or
directly
can't be struck
hitting
by
them. Can't be struck by it.
Right, right. Then,
when we've just seen that happen.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's because I was wearing my hat. And then we see this vampire girl running into a barn and it's broad daylight. We're like, it looks like the sun is really striking her right now.
I know, it's like.
And you just said it.
Girls, didn't you just hear what this guy said?
Pay attention, class.
Yeah.
Also, the part that really pissed me off and
so
but
many
also
of them.
Made me have fun with it too was made a game out of it. Was when we were doing the day and night.
It's
yeah.
daylight.
It's daylight.
It's night.
Night.
It's daylight.
It's the classic night.
Night. Day.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Back
yeah.
and forth.
Because, like, I mean, you're living in the life of, like, already past Planet Nine. You know,
I mean, they did it like seven times or something, where they'd show him on the castle and it's clearly night, and then Van Helsing down on the bank of the river, clearly day. And I mean, it was like seven times they did that. You know. Like,
it didn't make any sense.
It was so funny.
And it was horrible.
Like, you've given up at this point. You've absolutely given up.
Special effects. What did you guys think of the special effects?
The backwards flaming arrow
was
kiss.
Awesome.
That was your favorite part.
Yes.
Well, that one, and of course, I love the terrible bats. Terrible, terrible plastic bats. And the one little plastic rat. That was so funny.
You love the bat because they had that screaming sound you hear and everything.
Right.
So yeah. So you're like, oh, those screaming bats.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the real ones that actually use echolocation, you never hear them, you know. No, not this.
So you mean like every other bat
but
in the world.
That rat would have been perfect in a David the Rock Nelson movie because it was just a little plastic rat with a string that someone's pulling. And just pulling it a little bit, and that's what makes it look like it's moving. That was perfect. I was like, dude, you're right there. Right there. You're like Euro Dave the Rock Nelson.
It reminded me of doing, like, dioramas in elementary school, you know, and you'd have all your little characters on strings and you move them around.
It was so funny. And then, of course, you know, the vampire lightning and just the weird, you know, the diehard Dracula effect. Was cheesy. It looked like it was done on a Casio computer from 1982. It looked bad.
It was terrible.
The flying coffin was pretty excellent.
That was awesome.
At one point, it looked like there was just like a GoPro camera on top of it.
Oh, yeah. So
GoPro
it was
Dracula.
Falling.
Yeah,
GoPro.
Dun, da, 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 like, release the flying monkeys.
Out of his butt.
There was a lot of music that you liked. It was
solid classical music. We had some Tchaikovsky, Beethoven, Strauss, and what was the other one? Wagner, obviously.
That was the
yes.
good stuff, but unfortunately,
yes.
there was also a lot of inappropriate music that just did not fit the scene.
Yeah, and I can't remember. I think the one you're talking about is the bedroom scene. I think that was Offenbach.
There were several times.
It was terrible.
Where
it
was just bad. It was just a poor choice of music. It's like, this is clashing with the tone you're trying to set.
Well, maybe not, though. Maybe they're, like you said, maybe they were going for a comedy, but they were just really bad.
Oh, God. The scene with the banging of the bed.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
Lord.
What we're talking about.
Yeah, so it was so ridiculous because,
on
yeah.
and on
it
and on.
It did. And you even pointed out, but like, when I was watching, I was like, like what? Like, I thought it would have been funny if Van Helsing ran in and was like, what's all that banging?
Yeah. I think the music they were playing in that scene is the same music they use in Home Alone when they're all running to catch the plane.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
That's the tone that they wanted to set for the sex scene.
They're incorrect. But before even that, they had some weird soft jazz kind of crap on
there.
Yeah,
it sounded like he was getting ready to hook up with somebody, you know. But he was just staggering around alone from bar to bar, seeing women's faces in his drinks.
Yep. That's special effects right there.
Yeah.
He saw the woman. And
now, was that his girlfriend or was it the
other
one?
No, it was the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the
alone.
Future chick that
so
we hadn't seen putting the whammy on him from afar.
Premonition of this.
Yeah.
This.
That's another thing that pissed me off. It's like, okay, I get it. Like, this girl is calling to him, I guess. But, like, you know, just, I'm sorry, if my girlfriend just died, and I made a wish that she would come back, or that somebody would come back, I did not realize.
Because
I fucked up like that.
I fucked up.
I wouldn't be like, You know what? I think I'm just going to go to Prague. Yeah. It's going to solve all my problems.
I don't know. I'm going to disagree with you on that, though. I mean, how many people have had something really bad happen in their life, and then they're just like, I just need to go find myself. I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to eat, pray, love it, you know? And that's what he was doing. He was trying to
eat, pray, loving it.
Yes,
and,
he was.
And I buy that part to get into Prague. But after that, when you have all of Europe to explore, it's like, I'll just go to Moravia and drop off my car, leave all my shit behind, don't contact anyone, and then wander off aimlessly into the woods.
And marry the first chick that I find.
Who doesn't run screaming from me.
Well, we hadn't gotten a hostel yet. That's not till 2005.
That's true.
So they weren't aware that bad things happen when you go on a road trip to Europe.
And you don't have your little Baedeker's guide telling you where to go and what hotels to stay at, what hostels to stay at. It's just ridiculous. Oh my God.
Yeah, he was really winging it.
Ugh, so it's such a terrible, terrible film.
Terrible.
So like I said, the director was a stunt guy, a stunt coordinator.
Which did not show at all.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm going at. It's like, did you see any of that expertise in this movie at all?
No. I mean, were there any stunts really except for them falling into the river?
Well, I think they climbed a couple of sets, but that's about it.
Climbing a ladder that is off-screen. Yay!
I haven't really seen, there wasn't much stunts, especially
he fell in the hay.
He did fall in the hay.
But you're roll in
the hay. Roll in the hay. And I was like, ow, I found the needle.
Don't reference a good movie in the middle of a bad movie. Sorry.
I mean, it makes sense because if this is trying to be a Mel Brooks style comedy or something, which I bet at one point this was supposed to be that way, Dracula Dead and Loving It, which was not good. That was my least favorite Mel Brooks movie, but this was worse. Mm. This was worse than Dracula Dead and Loving It.
There are a lot of bad Dracula comedies out there, several of which.
This is the first one I've ever seen.
Several of which are ripe for IFC, and I'm going to start bringing them in. But there's just so many of them, and so a lot of them are not necessarily Dracula, but they're bad vampires. One, there's a bad disco vampire movie I have to show you guys. It's so bad.
That sounds wonderful.
So awful. And even that, there's several versions of that too. It's just, oh my God. So. Bad vampire movies are kind of one of my favorite shticks because it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if they're done like this, where it's just utterly incompetent, then it's fun. If it's done I've seen a lot of vampire movies that are just kind of boring.
Right.
They try to take themselves too seriously, and this one at least. It's still a terrible movie, but at least it didn't take itself so seriously.
It does try. Like, the whole scene, the whole idea of Dracula going to the dentist, that could have been a lot of fun if they had done it properly. They couldn't, but at least they thought about it. At least they thought outside the box. I'll give them that much.
We have never seen Dracula go to the dentist. That's a funny idea.
And it leaves it up to, open for a sequel where he goes to, the DMV or, gets a...
Track at the DMV. I know I live forever, but come on!
does the undead really need a colonoscopy?
Yeah, right.
See, that's good skits. Those are good, funny, Saturday Night Live type skits, or whatever. But you
can't do an entire movie based on that.
You could.
Yeah, usually that doesn't work, though.
I think we should.
I think that could be a funny thing. It's just, it has to be done well enough where all the jokes work and there's still a plot.
Well, and again, like we pointed out with other movies that try to be funny, if you're going to do comedy, it has to be quick. It has to have timing. You have to know what you're doing.
The punchline's got to stick.
Yeah, and it's got to be somewhat more universal, so that, you have a better chance of other people seeing it and also finding it funny.
Funny that you say universal and it's a Dracula movie.
I know.
Ha ha ha.
Comedy.
Comedy.
See? Universal. You don't get it.
But yeah.
It wasn't a universal joke.
Oh, well, obviously.
Apparently not. But yeah, so it was just one of those things where it was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a pun. It sucked.
What pissed you off? At the end of the movie, you were just like, I'm going to tear this movie apart. This movie pissed me off so much.
I did. If they didn't do the coma thing. If they didn't do the coma thing and had, they just came back home and somehow or whatever, they decided, like, they could have ended it. This is how I would have ended it. Because they kind of, like, left where Dracula was dead.
Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, he got blown up, man. If he had somehow just put himself back together again, I would have been so mad. But he probably would have. But, you know, if they got their people together at the end and said, you know what? Let's all take them. And they all got into a line and they all started walking and that's how they ended it. I would have been like, yeah, that's the way to end it. No. They fucking pissed me off.
The whole coma thing was just so unnecessary. It lasted for like 20 seconds. It didn't add anything to the plot in any way because they all end up right back at the castle, all vampires. Why did they need to fool him for those 20 seconds? Like, is that the amount of time it took for him to, like, come to acceptance? Was it the stages of grief or something? I mean, really, there was no reason for it.
It's one of the many times where I'm like, movie, are you trying to gaslight me? Are you trying to change the reality? No, I've already seen what you were showing me beforehand, you know. Next, you're going to see him.
The thing at the beginning, too, like, it added nothing. Like, the whole 300 years ago, I ended up getting this virgin girl.
But you see her throughout the movie, too.
I guess, but
they really didn't need it.
She was unnecessary.
She was unnecessary.
Or couldn't they have just said, hey, this is my chick, you know, from 300 years ago.
Right.
Done.
Yeah.
You know, like, we didn't need to see, you know, Captain Crunch or whatever.
Unless King Vitamin was one of the producers and said, all right, I'll give you $50,000 towards this. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because that's the only other way I could see it.
Stunts provided by Burger King, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was funny because you get to see her dad, and her dad was like, it just gets the shit kicked out of him, and he gets hung. And you know, instead of feeling bad, I was just laughing. It just looked stupid.
She had shoes on, and he didn't. Did you notice that when he was hanging, he had no shoes on? But the girl that was still the lazy virgin in the pajamas had shoes on. Dad did not. Dad was already up and working, right? Mm-hmm. And he had no shoes. You're going to get hookworm, man.
So much wood paneling.
You sort of brought up a good point before, though, about the dad and just not feeling sorry. You don't feel sorry for anybody in this movie.
No.
There's nobody to root for.
Nope.
There's nobody to care for.
Nope.
Except Salvador Dali. I liked him. I wanted him to be all right.
I liked Carla. Him. I liked her.
I like the stuttering guy. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Dennis?
I liked Carla. She was absolutely desperate to get out of that one Starbucks town anywhere.
Yeah.
And so desperate enough to hook up with dime store Brendan Fraser.
Or Leslie Nielsen, father of the girl. You know, it was just those characters, those people were just okay. You know, like,
in little bits, they were okay. But the more you stuck with them, the more like, okay, these people are irritating.
Salvador Dali didn't have any personality. I just liked his mustache.
Gotcha.
Now that's enough for me.
Yeah. Ugh, it's just so
simple
weird.
Needs.
You know, and they had that one, you know, it was always framed so that one weird crayon picture was in the background at all times.
Yeah,
whenever
it bothered you.
It always bothered me, the background.
Yeah, the Brick and Brack and things like that that are just in the background. Mm-hmm. Never bothers me because I'm never looking for that shit. You know, I don't know.
Well, it sticks out. And when it sticks out like that, it bothers, like, because there's a reason. You know, you're either lazy and you don't give a shit, or you're more like Kubrick, who, like, puts things in his vision for a reason. There's nothing is there by happenstance. It's there to help tell the story
Maybe
or help set the mood.
That they couldn't move that picture. Yeah.
the crayon picture. Do what you want in this place, but don't move the crayon picture.
Could be. I don't know. I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt. They just
I'm thinking it was the director's daughter drew that.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
We're gonna show this off, and yeah, it'll be a star in the movie.
You know, or a producer paid money.
40 years from now, she'll be like, that's the most successful thing I've ever done in my life.
That's sad.
I know.
Don't make that. Don't wish that on that.
Well, there isn't much success that comes with this particular film for obvious reasons, but I think this is in like it's pretty famous for being in the worst IMDb movies group, and I think it's something like, I don't know, like a less than a whole point or a whole star. It's pretty bad. That's one of the reasons why a long time ago I was looking around for bad movies and I saw that. I was like, oh, this looks bad. I never heard of it. Let's see if I can find it. And when I bought the DVD and I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. I can't wait to show this to everybody, especially people who love Dracula and love vampire movies. You know, yep, it's so ridiculous.
Oh, man, and there's Time of Wiseau Vampire. There's I remember us going like
Tommy Wiseau / Liberace.
Yeah,
depending on whether or not he's in front of the piano.
And Count Chunkula. Don't forget that.
But yeah, the Tommy Wiseau one, I'll tear you apart, Lisa.
Well, I love when you're like, oh, no fat shame. I'm like, fat shaming Dracula? Come on.
That's funny though, but it's sort of like, it's sort of like, I don't know. I kind of feel bad, like that dude. whatever, you know, but he was the one who agreed to be Dracula.
Right.
I mean, if you agree to be Dracula, you generally want to take the weight off.
And you look grotesque like that, people are going to notice.
But that was also, that had to be, like, the plan. Like, when they wrote that movie.
Part of the comedy, quote unquote.
Right. When they wrote the movie, they were like, you know what, we're going to make Dracula a fat slob.
Now, it could have worked if they were actually serious about it and trying to make it creepy, because what's creepier than a fat, bloated, grotesque corpse?
Yeah, yeah.
That's horrible.
Well, because his skin was all, like, green-tinged, too. So, I mean,
so can you imagine having something like that getting up next to you and biting you and putting its lips on you when it's all bloated and just decaying and grotesque? That could have been frightening and disturbing, but that's not the direction that they went.
And that's, in the canon of Dracula art has that he's kind of old and decrepit until he drinks enough.
Right. Blood. Or, you know, there are the things like, you know, you don't see him in the mirror except very few times. And when you do, instead of seeing him really handsome and young, you see him decayed and covered in maggots and stuff.
I never realized
that.
I did not.
Yeah, that happens every now and again.
Sounds what's that book? Dorian
Gray. Oh yeah, a little bit of Dorian Gray in there. Yeah. But so there are ways that you can work with that. It just didn't happen in this film because they just didn't really care about that. They were trying to go for easy yucks, I think. And it just didn't.
Easy yucks.
Just didn't quite come across. All right. Well, I think we are at that time where we have to talk about scoring this film.
Uh-oh.
All right. So for the benefit of those folks who don't follow our show, and shame on you because you really, really should.
Yeah, subscribe.
Please. This is the part where we take our scores between 1 and 10, by which 1 is a very, very low score and it doesn't have very much stink at all, up to a 5, which is kind of in between, kind of meh. And then a 10 is a great big fat steaming barrel of stink because it's a really, really bad, bad film. Not to say that it isn't fun and you didn't enjoy it, but it means that there's quite a lot of problems and a lot of issues and stuff that just did not work.
Or,
and you might have enjoyed it in spite of all that.
Or you can also give a 0.5. Right?
You could. You can give a half step if you feel subtle. And we take our scores from our 3 reviewers. We add them all up. And then we figure out what is the stinkiest movie of the season.
We've got this thing called the Ladder of Stink.
Yes.
And, you know, we take them and put them up there and see what they're like, you know, next to.
And as you go up the ladder, you ascend into the stinky heavens. There's only a few ones that have actually got 30s that are up in stinky heaven, but everybody else is kind of a step below. And it's rare air up there.
It's not that rare.
There's some folks there. There's some Neil Breen's up there. We just had a new inductee up there with Dave Nelson. We'll have to show you that someday.
Yeah, what are some of the ones that have gotten?
Oh, Hahnemann and the Five Riders. And we'll have to show you that too at some point.
One.
Yeah, that's a glorious mess.
So Neil Breen.
2 Neil Breens.
Dave the Rock Nelson. And
Zombie Cop.
Yeah, oh, and Turkish Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. And that's the better of the crappy Star Wars ripoff movies I have.
Nice.
Yeah. That's the better one?
Oh, yeah. But to get back to Die Hard Dracula, now we have to give a score. So, Moody, I know what you wanted to give. sometimes we talk you out of those scores. Sometimes we did that in our last one. But
are
I'm
you saying you think that I'm going to have a coma?
It was all a dream. That's
all
right.
A dream to say that I said I changed originally my score when I was first watching the movie.
When you were angry and hot.
No, before I was angry and hot when I was watching the movie, kind of like enjoying this stupidity, but you know, still knowing it was a terrible movie, I was giving it 9. And then that fucking thing happened. Just rose it to a 10. Just like, you know. And I will stand by that.
It was funny because the credits are coming up and he's like, I hate you, and I hate you, and I hate you, and I hate you.
Absolutely.
He was personally affected.
It was. It was so much fun.
It was so terrible. And I will still give it a 10. You know, I'm sorry. It gets a 10 for me.
Okay.
So, you know, honestly, a lot of it didn't feel that bad to me. It was still entertaining. And I don't just mean because of the things we were able to make fun of. I was just kind of like, all right, yeah, I could see, like, if I was super bored, I could watch this and just be like, yeah, that was pretty dumb, but it passed the time and it was better than, I don't know, doing laundry. So I was actually hovering around an 8 or something, but then the coma thing happened and I was like, what? Because... not only, it's not just because it's a cheap trick, but it was completely unnecessary, and they didn't even, like, go with it. You know, they showed it for a second, and they're like, never mind, we didn't really need to do that, it's irrelevant. What the hell?
Right.
So I went back up to a 9. I don't think I'm capable of going to 10, though, because I've seen some things that were so much worse than this.
Yeah.
You know, that I just don't think I can go there. But I was, hovering around, like, a 7.58, because I thought, you know, God, I've seen worse.
So you went to a 9.
I went to a 9 just because of the coma thing. Just because.
See, it changes you.
It does.
I feel the sentiment.
So, yeah, I'm up. I'm there with Moody. To me, it hovered around 9, 9.5. And the coma thing was just the dirty, disgusting, rotten cherry on top of the stink pile. And that pushes it over. That's the Neil Breen effect. That little extra bit that just pushes it over.
See, Neil does that the whole movie.
Yeah, I know.
This movie did it in just one fucking swoop. You know,
So I'm going to go for a 10 as well.
Really? Yeah, wow. I guess I'm a time-hearted, you know.
You are kind of.
It's fine. We actually like that. You know,
because if you gave everything a 10, you got nowhere to go.
Well, you know, here's the thing. So last season, we had a lot of movies that should have been 30s, you know, obviously. This, I'm not mad that this is not a 30.
Yeah, me either.
Because I'm like, this is bad. Like, if I hadn't been that pissed off, like I said, like if that stuff, the coma didn't happen, it would have gotten lesser stuff, but that just angered me to the point where I can't give it.
And it was right at the end too, so it's like stuck in your mind. Yeah.
Not just that, like also like I was enjoying it up until then. Like I was like, oh, this is so stupid and goofy and fun, and I like this. And then that just did it. That was it. So I can see where people could still give it a lower score. So even if other people gave it like an 8 or something, but I could nothing lower than an 8. Nothing lower than an 8. But it was so terrible. Like it just irritated me, and I had a feeling like I almost thought you were gonna give it a 9, Paul. Just because I know like 10s are. Like a little bit more difficult for you because you know that means it has to be in Neil Breen territory. This movie is not Neil Breen territory.
The thing was, it was a 9 thanks to Bruce Glover. Bruce Glover, I thought, was pretty good in the film. He was like the one little sliver.
He was good.
Of all the people that were there, he was probably the best, in my opinion. He was entertaining. He made the character fun.
He kept pushing the guy into fighting.
I loved that.
Oh, yeah, that was my favorite part. Like, you're just like, oh, go fight.
So for that, I was like, okay, this is a crappy, crappy movie.
We forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah, the near smooch.
The near smooch.
Yeah, that lasted an uncomfortably long time.
They were so close.
Your faces are just, get your faces away.
I don't know why they were so close. Like, literally did not need to be that close to each other.
Because the camera wasn't moving.
There must
have
been a wall behind them or something. I can't back up, guys. Me too.
But he was like the one shred I had that was keeping it from being a 10. And then the whole thing with the coma. And then I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. And then when they all become vampires, I was like, oh, for crying out loud. So that pushed it over. That was the tipping point. So I get it. When you had, that was pretty much my reaction when I first saw it.
Like, come on. You know, like, this is bullshit.
You made me go through all of that only to take it away from me. Why did I go through all that?
They didn't even do that because they didn't even run with the premise of the it was all a dream because it clearly wasn't. So, I mean.
It was all a coma.
It wasn't anything.
It was like he woke up and he was still exactly where he was just at.
Yeah.
So, like, when did he go into the coma?
He didn't.
You never saw it.
You didn't.
They're gaslighting us about the coma.
Because he never got bit or anything. Like,
he might have. We just
don't know. No,
we never saw it.
Here's
the thing.
We never saw Van Helsing get bit either.
Nope.
Well, right. But see, that could have happened after the coma. Like, I get that. Like, that is fine and whatever. And Dracula's alive and well and running around like everything's okay.
I mean, if you're going to do this stupid coma idea, and I really hope you don't, but if you're going to, what you do is you say he wakes up and all of a sudden the original girlfriend's there and the friend is there. And it's like, oh, yeah, when you fell out of the boat, you hit your head and all that other shit was just a dream and your girlfriend's still alive and none of that shit happened.
Okay,
right. That would have worked.
That actually would have made me happy.
And then she like smothers him with a pillow. She's like, here you go, safety nerd.
Safety nerd. That would have been great. I would have loved that.
That would have been funny. See, that would have been funny. And that would have been a great way
here's
to
do it. Here's for not being able to remember right. my name when you were wishing out a star.
here's for wearing the same goddamn shirt for 3 weeks.
Coma.
Right.
I mean, I'm not even cold in the ground and you're cheating on me already.
I'm not actually dead at all and you're cheating on me.
And your damn whiny voice.
But I get it. Like, something else. Like, if it could have been that, I would have been okay if he had woken up.
It would not have been happy, but it would have been acceptable.
No, I would have been happy. Like, 100%. I would have knocked it down from a 9. If it had done that, because like at least it made sense, you know, at that particular moment. This movie just it didn't make sense before, and then it just went. Whoa.
Yeah, there were several times when you guys were like, "I don't understand what's happening."
I know, and then you're like, "It all makes sense." No, it won't.
It did. No, it finally did. The whole meteor hitting the coffin thing, because we were both like, because the two female characters were like so nondescript and boring that it was like, is that the same girl? I couldn't
even
tell.
Remember.
I mean,
what
apparently
she
they
like.
Didn't even have the same hair color, but
they
didn't
have the same name.
I just couldn't even differentiate them because I'm like, these are like two people I have
well,
absolutely
the
no
jump
interest
from,
in.
From, you know, the one thing to the next thing to the next thing is so abrupt. You don't have time. There's no way to even
also,
figure out where's what's going on.
With the nondescript chick, he looks over at her and he goes, Carla, right? And she's like, yeah.
How does he know her name?
How does she know? Because in her dreams and pictures and stuff, she never once says, my name is Carla, you know, or anything.
Must have been one of the dreams we weren't privy to. You know, they just didn't have time to show us.
Was that another coma?
Well, I mean,
Jesus.
Oh, they foreshadowed it when he was driving in his Carla, the little yellow Carla.
That was terrible.
But it fits in with that movie.
Oh, you know, you're gonna make me want to hate this episode too. Now with the
and
don't give it more credit than it deserves.
I know.
You don't think they thought that hard, do you?
So much fun.
But it kind of fits with this fucking movie. Terrible jokes and then terrible situations and everybody's a vampire at the end. So I guess everything that they were doing just didn't even matter.
None of it mattered.
Because none of them are mad that they were vampires.
Nope.
They're all happy. You know, it's like saying, okay, like, you're gonna create zombies, right? You're gonna, and then you're gonna fight these zombies. You're gonna lose. You're gonna become a zombie. And then you're like, oh, hey.
It's actually all right. Should have done this years ago.
Ridiculous. Live forever, eat brains, whatever.
Don't have to worry about the fact that I never
changed
my shirt.
Maybe that's how people feel when when they become Nazis, they're like, oh, this isn't that bad, you know? It's easy to slide in there.
Speaking of brain dead.
Yeah, brain dead.
Dear. All right, guys.
To make it contemporary.
I think we've talked about this movie more than it deserves.
Do you think we talked about it to death?
Yes, I do. I do. So thank you all very, very much for joining us. God knows
thank
what
you,
we're going to find
thank
out next time.
For me.
Yes, and thank you for the pet. We appreciate that.
So sweet.
And yeah, please join us next time. Thanks to all of you for listening in. Join us next time for our next episode of Indie Film Cafe. It'll be Mr. Moody's turn.
Yes, and guess what it'll be? It'll be our first 100th
episode. Oh, okay. Very good.
So first 100th, because we'll explain all of that on that episode.
Is that like second breakfast? Like Hobbits?
Kind of, sort of. Kind of, sort of.
There's two. We're going to have two 100th episodes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So,
blame
yeah,
Continuity Monkey.
It was a mistake. So, even at Indie Film Cafe, we make mistakes.
It was all a dream. That's all I'm going to say. It was all a dream.
Paul woke up from a coma and
that's
realized
right.
he fucked up.
That's right. Exactly. No, I blame the monkey. I don't know where he is. He's hiding.
He's hiding. There were a couple continuity things.
Oh,
so
dude, the whole thing was a continuity error.
That's what it was.
Bad. But thank you all very much for joining us, and hopefully you will join back for our next wonderful episode. Hopefully we'll have Miss Jo back with us,
yay!
Right?
Yes. Were you happy
when they let me out. Yeah.
Yay. All right. Well, thanks again, and we will see you next time. Bye. Okay, and... It was all a coma. Come on,
yeah,
you loved that movie.
It was pretty fun. Yeah.
It was a fun time. It was just, it pissed me off.
Liberace vampire. I like that a lot.